Everything is based on the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is the founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Om Aganati Mirandasya Ganagana Salakya Chaksurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupakiram Mayantarati Swa Parantikam. Our topic today is happiness is a heart condition. Have you noticed that Americans are more and more concerned with purity? In a recent year, $500 million was spent on water purifiers. And we can only imagine what the expenditure was on organic, natural foods, air filters. And yet, perhaps the most important purity is totally overlooked. There's no effort, there's no energy expended in that direction. And that's purity of heart. Who wants a new, clean heart filled with pure thoughts and right desires? It is said that a clean heart yields two results. One is a clean heart makes you happy, and the other is once you've got all the debris and all the fog cleaned out of your heart, you can see God face to face. In a book called Science of Self-Realization, Prabhupada's talking with a policeman from Chicago. This is an excerpt from an article called Crime and What to Do. Prabhupada says, the difference between a pious man and a criminal is that one is pure in heart and the other's heart is dirty. That dirt is like a disease in the form of uncontrollable lust and greed in the criminal's heart. Today, people in general are in this disease condition, and thus crime is very widespread. When the people become purified of these dirty things, crime will disappear. The simplest process of purification is to assemble in congregation and chant the holy names of the Lord, just like we're doing here. In Los Angeles, they do a festival on Venice Beach. This will be, I think, the 40th year. And Venice Beach on a Sunday afternoon in August is tremendously crowded. There are 20, 30,000 people there anyway. I don't know if you knew it, but Venice Beach is one of the highest crime rates of any city in America. More drug, more gangs, more homicide in Venice Beach. After about 20 years of doing the festival there on Venice Beach, there was a move on the part of the city council to deny the devotees permit. Do you know what two organizations stepped forward and encouraged city council to go ahead and give the permit? It was the Merchants Association and it was the police. They both had the same reasoning, that even though there are 30 or 40,000 people in Venice Beach on an August Sunday, and the Krishna festival brings another 10 or 15,000, it's probably as if not more crowded on that Sunday than any other Sunday in the whole year, the crime rate is a fraction. Even though the numbers of people are two or three times the normal, the crime rate is about 0.1%. For the reason that Prabhupada gives here. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Lots and lots of chanting. Chanting all the way along the beach from Santa Monica to Venice. Chanting on two stages. People's hearts are getting purified, and thus, being a little cleaner in heart, they're less inclined to commit crimes. Some of the money that we spend nowadays on hiring more and more and more policemen, that money could better be spent propagating the chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prabhupada said we should hire huge stadiums for kirtan, invite tens of thousands of people, chant, dance, do dramas, and eat prasadam. And that will be the best way to fight crime. Why? Because happiness is a condition of the heart. Happiness is not what comes to you from the outside going in. It's what comes from the inside going out. Happiness is a heart condition. Purity, which goes along with happiness, is the decision to glorify God with your body, mind, and words. About 100 years ago, a Christian hymn writer named Francis Havergal, gave the best definition of personal purity that I've ever heard. Take my life, Lord, and let it be consecrated to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my lips and let them sing always only for my King. Take my mouth and let it be filled with messages from Thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as Thou shalt choose. Take my will and make it Thine, it shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it shall be Thy own, it shall be Thy royal throne. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at Thy feet, its treasure store. Take myself and I will ever be always only for Thee. Purity of heart comes from honoring God, giving Him the first place in your life. Those who are after purity of heart, before they read a book, they ask, is my reading this book going to honor God? Before seeing this movie, is my seeing this movie going to honor God? Before listening to this music, is my listening to this music going to honor God? Does spending time with these friends honor God? Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, whatever you do, whatever you give away, whatever charity you perform, do it as an offering. Consecrate it to me. Happiness comes from purity of heart, and purity of heart comes from doing what honors God. And that means unmixed motives, non-duplicitous, not of two minds, one mind, and that is to please the Supreme Personality of God. For such a person, what you see is what you get. There's a transparency there. One pure devotee of the Lord named Queen Kunti, she prayed in the same way that the river Ganges naturally flows without any prompting or any interruption towards the sea. Oh, my dear Lord Krishna, let myself, my devotion, my energy, my body, my mind, my words flow naturally, unimpededly and uninterruptedly towards you, and let no one or nothing deviate my attention. If you're the kind of person we're talking about, you're a person obviously of integrity. You're the same outside as inside. You don't say one thing and do another. Your motives are true. And God is concerned with why we do things as much as He's concerned with what we do. Prabhupada says here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 24th chapter, 59th verse, one who is pure in heart is never attracted by the external energy which urges the individual soul to try to dominate material nature. The pure heart of a devotee is never disturbed when he executes devotional service in the form of hearing, chanting, and remembering. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mirabai was a celebrated devotee who lived in medieval Rajasthan. She had an arranged marriage into a family who resented her worshiping Lord Krishna exclusively. Came to the point she was threatened with death by her in-laws if she didn't give up her Krishna worship. And you know what she said? I can't give up who I am. Nitya Shurupa Hai Krishna Das. We are all originally and constitutionally created by God to serve God. You can't not be what you were created to be. It's like asking sugar not to be sweet. She said, just as you cannot separate the earth from an earthen pot, you cannot separate Krishna devotion from me. Well, some of you out there are thinking, I'm not a Krishna devotee. This stuff, the dress, the chanting, the architecture, the food, it's all alien to me. Just like chili's hot, water is wet, think about it. You're a servant, each and every one of us. We're all servants, whether we like it or not. Even the president has to serve the citizens nicely or they'll kick him out. The king has to serve his subjects. We have to serve our families, our pets, our bosses, politicians, the laws of material nature, hunger, thirst, birth, death, disease, and old age. Nobody can say they're a master except Krishna. Ultimately, we're all serving God. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ishvara Parama Krishna. Ishvara means Lord. Parama means the Lord of Lords. The Lord who has no Lord above him. Ekala Ishvara Krishna Ara Sabya Brita. Only Krishna is Lord and all others are his servants. There are three R's to a pure heart. Remember that Krishna God sees everything. Review your motives and realign your priorities. Don't believe the lie, no one will ever know. Hey, somebody already knows. God sees everything. He already knows what it is that you're hiding. He's in your heart. So if you can't hide it, you may as well try to have a pure heart as well as to fake it. You can fool others, but you can never fool Krishna. He's right there as your witness in the region of your heart. It is said you're only as sick as your secrets. Who conceals secrets does not prosper, but who confesses and is transparent and comes clean finds mercy. What are we saying? In spite of your dirty secrets, Krishna still longs to have a relationship with you. Not the pretense you, not the Facebook you, but the real you with all of your faults and shortcomings. That's who Krishna wants to have a relationship with. Review my motives. Examine not just what you do, but why you do it. Did you know that good things can be done in a wrong way? Giving in charity is a good thing. Supporting the church is a good thing. Fasting is a good thing. Praying is a good thing. But the question is, do you do these to honor God or you do it to be praised by men? Here's a test of purity. Can you keep what you do between you and God? Not blab about it. Advertise it to others, seeking their approval. Krishna has a thing about hypocrites. Right there in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita. It says, Paritranaya sadhanam vinashyati dushkritam. It says, I come to protect the devotees. Who's a devotee? It's not necessarily someone who's perfect, but it's someone who is transparent. And he comes to annihilate the hypocrites. Now, the righteous are those who are not necessarily perfect, but what you see is what you get. Those who are righteous are of one mind with God, and they make their best effort to put him first place in their lives. Now, here's an interesting point. Many of the miscreants who Krishna came to discipline 5,000 years ago would probably have been approved of in a lot of churches nowadays. Roma Hershana Sutta, he was elected as the president of a whole group of eminent sages. He was given an elevated seat. He was conversant with vast numbers of scriptures. And yet when Lord Balaram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, arrived, everybody stood up to honor Lord Balaram except Roma Hershana Sutta. At that time, he was revealed as a prideful, selfish person. The Lord took what would seem to some to be a drastic action because he didn't want any leader of society to think of himself above honoring God. In 1829, George Wilson was sentenced to hang for a bank robbery. Influential friends prevailed upon President Andrew Jackson to issue a pardon. Wilson refused the pardon. People said, can he do that? It went up to the Supreme Court. Chief Justice John Marshall of the Supreme Court wrote, a pardon is an act of grace proceeding from the executive head of state. However, delivery of the pardon is not complete without acceptance. It may then be rejected by the person to whom it is tendered. We have no power to force a pardon, grace, mercy on anyone. And you might be thinking right now, Wilson was a prideful fool, but how many of us are of the same nature to reject the grace that God so freely offers to us? If we say we're all right, if we say we have no sin, then we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. You destroy any and all such misconceptions when you chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You're saying, Lord, doesn't matter whether I'm rich or poor, whether I'm high or low, whether I'm esteemed or reviled, we're all in the same vast ocean of birth and death, and it doesn't matter how good a swimmer are, it's simply not within your capabilities to save yourself. Hare Krishna, Lord, help me. Without your grace, without your mercy, there's no way I can be extracted from this vast ocean of birth and death. Here's a little rap verse to the same effect. Govinda, son of Nanda, though you are the one second to none, my shining sun, I am heartbroken in this ocean of birth and death. It's not worth the commotion. Pull me out of this cruel blender, surrendered as an atom in the sweet splendor of your tender lotus feet. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Third thing for purity of heart is realign your priorities. Krishna is saying to you today, I want top place. I'm not going to play second fiddle to anybody else. I'm not going to have any rivals. Whether it's your career, your husband, your wife, your gun collection, your truck, I want to trump all that. I want first place. Krishna, God, doesn't just want to be a resident in your heart. He wants to be the president of your heart. So how do you know what your priorities are? Three things. First of all, look at your activities. Look at your checkbook stubs to see what's first in your life. Regardless of what we say is first place, where we spend our time and money determines what is actually first place. Where we spend our money is where our heart is. Do you write the first check every month to the Lord? Because if you don't write the first check to Him, you're not giving Him first place. Do you give Him 10% off the top? Because if you don't, you're not giving Him first place. It is said in this connection that the Lord gives us 100% of what we have, and we get to keep 90%. Such a deal. Not good enough for you? That means the Lord's not first place. Someone or something else is first place, because your heart is where your money is. Now, where is your anxiety? What do you worry about most? Studies have shown that people worry about five F's: finances, food, fitness, fashion, and future. If you're worrying about any of these things, it means that God is not number one in your life. You have misplaced priorities. Worry comes from the point of your greatest devotion. I don't worry about your kids. I don't worry about your finances. I don't worry about your job. I don't worry about your retirement program. Why? Because I'm not devoted to any of those things. Worry reflects your core devotions. Now imagine if there was a fundamental shift in your devotion from that which is temporary to that which is eternal. Then what would happen to your worry? It would go away. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prabhupada says here, in a Back to Godhead article, 1975, perfect civilization depends on the arrangements made by God, even as the lower animals depend on them. Birds chirp in the morning. They don't worry about finding food or keeping in fashion. Neither do they worry about their fitness or their future. They know that God supplies all the necessities of life. Our real problem is not insufficient food or finances. Our real problem is that we've forgotten God. And lastly, what is your ambition? What do you want to achieve? What is your ultimate goal of life? There's a little phrase, always looking for. That's ambition. Our encouragement tonight is don't always be looking for the same thing that everybody else is looking for. The problem with a lot of so-called righteous church devoted people is they have the same exact ambitions as non-devotees. They've bought into the culture, into the system, same tension, same stress. It is said, set your head first to the kingdom of God and His goodness, and then all things will come to you as a matter of course. And how do we maintain that focus? In a Back to Godhead article, Prabhupada says, associate with other devotees of the Lord, especially with saintly persons who can teach the message of love of Krishna. It is extremely important for advancement in spiritual life who you surround yourself with. Without the sort of association that centers on Krishna or God consciousness, it's very difficult to maintain the high standards required for spiritual perfection in a world given over largely to material sense gratification, garbed occasionally, it is true, in the hypocrite's cloak of ritualistic or traditional religion. Prabhupada established the International Society for Krishna Consciousness with now 820 centers all over the world so that like-minded spiritualists could come together and glean strength from numbers. One page of the phone book can be ripped very easily, but the whole phone book, the combined strength of all those hundreds of thousands of pages, it's almost impossible to tear it apart. It may seem romantic to some of you to be a solitary practitioner of yoga, but there are countless stories in scriptures of seekers succumbing to wealth and women and retreating from the spiritual path. However, in Krishna consciousness, neither wealth nor women are stumbling blocks because everything and everyone can be used in the service of the Lord. Happy are the pure in heart. And pure in heart means I'm continually conscious of Krishna's presence. I'm content with praising Krishna. I'm controlled by Krishna's priorities. The more mature you are, the more conscious you are that Krishna or God is with you all the time. The more spiritually mature you are, the less conscious you are of other people around you, and the less concerned you are about receiving their approval. The more mature you are spiritually, the more you transfer your devotion away from temporary things to the everlasting lotus feet of the Lord. If we start trying to be honest, transparent, people of integrity with unmixed motives, what can we expect as a result? The result will be that your intelligence will be laser focused. Your intelligence shifts from being all over the place, from being many branched and fragmented into smithereens, to being fixed on the root source of all things. Your intelligence shifts from shadow to substance, from illusion to ultimate reality. You're done being a phony. You're done being a pretender. You're done having a divided heart, trying to please everybody. You're done with the fear of being found out, exposed. In addition, it says here in a Back to Godhead article called Hallowed Be Thy Name, to giving direct realization of the Lord and elevation to His transcendental abode, the chanting of the holy names of the Lord can immerse the chanter in a profound state of spiritual rapture. Ultimately, perfection in chanting the holy names promotes the chanter to the spiritual world, the kingdom of God. There, in a spiritual body, he engages in direct devotional service to the Lord forever. This attainment is the professed goal of all the world's major religions. How do I get a clean heart? How do I do that? Well, you can't. You don't. But the Lord Himself is a heart transplant specialist. He doesn't charge a thing. He's never lost a patient. His procedure is not only painless, but it's joyful. And He wants to give you a new heart. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Will you chant that one time with me, paying attention to the lightness that it gives to your heart? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Some of you have a broken heart and it's hurting. Some of you have a hard heart. You've had so much bitterness and resentment in your life for so long. You've let it pile up, and you have a stony, hard heart, and nothing can break through. Nobody can get close to you. And some of you have a divided heart. You're trying to serve God one way on Sunday, and on Monday you're trying to please everybody, Tom, Dick, and Harry. You act one way with one group of people and another way with other group of people. Your heart is divided, and it's no wonder you're not happy. Our encouragement today is to let Krishna give you a new heart. Isn't it time we stop pretending that we're happy when we're really not? Isn't it time to stop pretending that we're following God when we're only doing it half-heartedly, if at all? Would you come today to Krishna and say, "Okay, Krishna, I need a new heart. Happiness is from the inside out. Happiness is a heart condition. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Lord, help me to realize that you're everywhere and you can see everything. There are no locked doors with you, no secrets. You know every thought that has ever crossed my mind. Every jealousy, every envy, every lust, every thought of murder or suicide or fear of depression, every wrong thought, you've seen it all, and yet you invite me in. Krishna, I want to realign my priorities with you. I want to put you first place in my life. You've said that if I set my heart first on you, then all these other things will come as a matter of course. Blessings will chase me down. I won't have to chase after them. Krishna, become the center of my life. Help me to be more concerned with pleasing you than with pleasing people. In this life, give me a new heart filled with clean thoughts and right desires. And Krishna, in the next life, take me back to home, back to God. Thanks so much for your kind attention. If you receive this message, please repeat after me. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Rama Rama.
Hare Hare.